Good morning.
Good morning.
It's always a pleasure to open God's Word with you. And as Dr. Gamble said, this is the choicest moment of the morning when we get to worship together and look to God's Word. So let's do that now. And let me invite you to turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And our reading will just be a short text and a familiar one, too. Verses 19 through 24, we'll read from God's Word in Lamentations chapter 3. So let's hear God's Word together. Remember my affliction in roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me, and this I recall to mind. Therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I hope in him. Our focus this morning will be on those two famous verses in verse 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Those verses are probably the best known verses in the book of Lamentations, and among the few verses of the Bible that regularly make it onto coffee cups and calendars at the Christian bookstore. And it's hard to decide whether the isolation of these verses and their popularization outside of their context has done them a disservice, because on the one hand, these verses probably are the most the beautiful expression of God's unfailing mercy and love in the whole Old Testament. But on the other hand, when it's isolated from its context, I think the true depth and the true meaning of these verses are somewhat diminished. If you didn't know, you probably wouldn't guess that these two verses are in a book called Lamentations, a book that is otherwise filled with expressions of sorrow and suffering from God's people. But then that is precisely what makes these verses stand out. Because here, the clouds break for just a moment. And from the midst of suffering, the prophet affirms and declares to us that God's grace and God's compassion will prevail, because he is faithful. In other words, it is the experience of suffering that brings about this renewed realization of God's grace. The sorrow and the suffering, or the wormwood and the gall, as the prophet put it, finally leads to this most beautiful apprehension of God's mercy, which always, in the end, prevails toward his people. And so this passage shows us that in the darkest hour of suffering that we might experience, and whatever tribulation we might deal with in this life, when God's compassion is needed the most, that is precisely when it proves to be unfailing. And so in Romans chapter 5, Paul says, "We glory in tribulation, knowing that it produces patience, character, and hope." James says to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that those trials add the fruit of perseverance to your faith. And so, in a similar way, the glory of Paul and the joy of James is matched here by the prophet in Lamentations 3 when he exclaims, from the midst of suffering, that God's unfailing compassions are new every morning. And so, there is indeed something to glory in when it comes to the trials of life. It is precisely then that our God is pleased to reveal himself to us in new and unexpected ways as a faithful Savior who has unfailing compassion. And so the context of these verses lends them a great deal of their depth of meaning. God's compassions are not new every morning in the sense that our lives will be like a perpetual peaceful sunrise. But his compassions are new every morning in the sense that they will prevail over even the darkest nights of tribulation that we may have to endure. And this is the greatest comfort of all. Now, having thought briefly about the context of these famous verses, I'd like to spend the rest of our time this morning focusing on one of its details, and perhaps it's often overlooked, but it's very important. God's compassions are said to be new every morning. Let's ask ourselves the question, why is the realization, the newness of God's compassion tied to a particular time of day, to the morning? Why would that be so? Well, we might think that it's simply a poetic way of saying that it happens every day, and maybe that's true. But still, the prophet says, new every morning. In fact, this phrase is carefully chosen, and it is deeply meaningful against the rich background of biblical imagery about the morning. First of all, morning is a time of day that is synonymous with spiritual renewal in the Bible because sleeping and awakening are daily illustrations of our death and our resurrection. In the Bible, death and sleep are words that are almost interchangeable. And so you remember the psalmist talking about sleeping the sleep of death. And likewise, awakening from sleep is an image of the resurrection. As for example, in Psalm 17, it's beautifully put there, I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. And so each day holds a reminder of the promise of the resurrection and the fact that we must first die to be raised up again, just as our Lord and Savior had to sleep the sleep of death before awakening to his resurrection on the third day. And so each and every night when you go to sleep, and each morning when you wake up, your death and your resurrection are being enacted, anticipated, until they come. And that is why morning is synonymous with renewal in the Bible. In the Bible, morning time is a time when hopes are fulfilled and mercy is received. Think of Psalm 30. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Think of Psalm 143, which we just sang together. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. And who can forget Psalm 130, where the longing for God is compared to watchmen waiting for the morning? In these and many other examples, morning is synonymous with hopes being fulfilled and mercy being received. Now, against this background, that is, awakening from sleep being a reminder of the promise of the resurrection, and mourning being synonymous with renewal in the Bible, it's no wonder that the examples of faith that we see in the Scriptures, in those examples, we find that mourning is the choicest time of day to seek the face of the Lord. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O God, Psalm 5. O God, you are my God, and early will I seek for you, Psalm 63. Awake, lute and harp, I will awaken the dawn, Psalm 108. And on those examples go. Now, of course, other times of day and night are mentioned in the Bible as times of prayer and times of praise. But one cannot escape the impression, almost everywhere in Scripture, that the morning is the time not only of our physical awakening, but a spiritual awakening, a time when we are supposed to be particularly sensitive to our recreation in Christ and the renewal of his mercies to us. So, if morning holds a special place in the rhythm of the Christian life, I bet you're likely expecting the application of this sermon to be an exhortation to have morning devotions. And you would be right. I think that is one obvious application of this particular passage. I think all too often our mornings are a groggy descent into routine rather than a spiritual awakening into the presence of the Lord. But if you and I would form the habit of life that we would direct our waking thoughts to the Lord in prayer and in devotion, and in this way offer him the first fruits of the day, we will discover more and more what it means that his mercies and compassions are new every morning. Directing our hearts and minds toward Christ in the morning, of course, will look different for each one of us. Each one of us has a different schedule to keep. And of course, the routines of the day cannot be held off for too long. But the important thing is to direct your mind and your heart to him in those waking moments of the day, offer the life that you live that day and all that you will do that day as a sacrifice to him, and be aware of his gracious presence. Be aware that when you awoke, that is, this morning or any other morning, when you wake up and you have that moment, and you know that moment I'm speaking of, when your eyes first flutter open and you first become conscious and self-aware, you're alive again. At that moment in the morning, the promise of the resurrection was held forth to you once again. And the day that has just begun represents the new life that you have in Christ. When each morning comes, you are indeed a new creation. Psalm 139, verse 18 says something very simple, but very, very profound. It simply says, when I awake, I am still with you. When you awake is the time to remember that he is still with you, and you are with him, and nothing can separate you from his unfailing compassions. Well, there's another encouraging way to apply this verse, that God's compassions are new every morning. The sense of this verse is that his compassions are renewed every morning, not just extended for another day, but added to. It means that we have not nearly discovered all that there is to discover about God's compassions, and that each day is meant for us to grow in our seeing and our experiencing and praising God for his compassions. If his compassions are new every morning, then each day really is a new beginning of our walk with him. You know how people of the world always seek renewal or change in some way. People make resolutions and talk about starting fresh and turning over a new leaf. Everybody wants a new beginning, right, at some time in their life. But believers have one every single day. Each morning is a fresh assurance of God's grace in Christ. And each morning that grace is added to. And so when it comes to our walk with Christ, when it comes to our struggle against sin, when it comes to our service to the Lord, when it comes to our inner spiritual lives and all the things that make up the life of faith, you have a new beginning and you have greater grace each and every morning. But for our part, we must be determined to be renewed, to not let a new morning come and let another day pass without some renewal in life. You see, our spiritual lives are reckoned in days. That's the basic unit of a man's or woman's spiritual life. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, the inward man is being renewed, not year by year, not week by week, day by day. The inward man is being renewed day by day. Friends, that's the purpose of a day. And we must think in terms of a day and its purpose. If the purpose of a day is for us to be renewed in Christ, then we have the assurance that his compassions are new every morning, enabling our renewal that day in a very particular way. So every 24 hours is kind of like a microcosm of your existence. The daytime is like your life. The purpose of it is to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. The nighttime when you sleep is like your death, which will surely come. Then the morning is your resurrection, when you and I will say with the psalmist, when I awake, I am still with you. I happened to come across a quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in which he put this point so very beautifully, and I'd like to quote him. He says this, every new morning is a new beginning of our life. Every day is a completed whole. The present day should be the boundary of our care and of our striving. A day is long enough for us to find God or to lose him, to keep the faith or fall into sin and shame. God created day and night so that we might not wander boundlessly, but already in the morning may see the goal of the evening before us. As the old sun rises new every day, so the eternal mercies of God are new every morning. And listen to this last line. To grasp the old faithfulness of God anew every morning, to be able, in the middle of life, to begin a new life with God daily, that is the gift that God gives with every new morning. I think that is very well put. And this brings us now to our final point, and that is how this whole idea of newness in the morning being a picture of the resurrection, and how that leads us and points to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the imagery of God's grace in the morning comes to its perfection in the resurrection of our Savior. Every gospel writer is particular to point out that the resurrection of Christ and the discovery of it by the disciples took place just as the sun was coming up. Matthew begins his resurrection account by saying, "As the first day of the week began to dawn." Mark begins his account by saying, "Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen." And Luke begins his account by saying, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb." You see, the gospel writers want us to know without a doubt that all of this took place at dawn, just when the sun was rising. And so all of that imagery of the Old Testament, the imagery of awakening to new life, the imagery of compassion in the morning, the imagery of renewal at daybreak, the imagery of watching for the dawn, all of those familiar Old Testament images, all of that comes to its fulfillment when the sun was just coming up and the disciples found the empty tomb. And Jesus had that moment, when his eyes fluttered open and he became awake, aware, alive again, after sleeping the sleep of death for 3 days. The promise of resurrection was realized, and just as God had promised, Christ rose again. God showed his promise to be true. The Father promised the Son in Psalm 110. He said to him, "From the womb of the morning you have the dew of your youth." That is the promise of the resurrection in the image of renewal in the morning. And that promise was kept. God has made another promise, and this one is just as true, that if you believe in and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose again from the dead, then the morning of your resurrection will come as well. As the day of your life passes, and as the night of your death approaches, God has promised us in Christ that there will yet be morning, that we will awaken to eternal life, that we will awaken in his presence and in his likeness. But in the meantime, until that morning comes, each and every morning of our lives here and now, we are reminded of this promise. And each day when we awake, we can rejoice that his compassions, which fail not, are new every morning. And so, if you are in Christ by faith, then you of all people can say, "Good morning," and mean it. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that your mercies and compassions are indeed new to us every morning, and that each day when we awake, we are still with you. And Father, thank you that you have promised us that on that last great day that you have appointed, that day of the resurrection, that we will indeed awake forever, never to sleep again, but to be in your presence, glorified. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ was brought up again from the dead, as you have promised. And we thank you that in him, we also have the promise of that glorious morning when we will experience the fullness of your mercy and glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll conclude with 139, selection C. 139C. And before we sing, I'd like to direct your attention to the very last line that we will sing, the last line of the last stanza. "I wake, and still I'm in your hand." So let's stand to sing 139, selection C.